meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everyone, God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. Father Tom Coyce here with a brain-wrinkling Wednesday. It's the Wednesday after Holy Week, Easter week, that is. And so I had a chance to sneak away after a busy, busy Lent and a busy, busy Easter time to relax a little bit and a wonderful retreat. And so I got to share with you a lot of thoughts that came tumbling down because it was a unique retreat based on science. It was based on cosmology. It was based on astrophysics. You might think that's kind of a strange thing to base a retreat on, and I sort of thought it was myself. A wonderful friend of mine, Father Tim Salpe, had attended a conference about 6 or 7 years ago in Arizona, and it was with Catholic astrophysicists, Catholic cosmologists, and it was in Arizona because did you know that the Pope's telescope is in Arizona? Maybe you know, maybe you didn't, but Vatican City State has its own little observatory, and for many years, cosmologists would gaze up into the heavens, stare at the stars from their telescope, in first in Rome itself, right in this Vatican city-state, which is only, I think, five square miles. It's obvious. It's the smallest country in the world, as we sometimes say. Anyways, they moved their telescope out to Casta Gandolfo, which is away from the busy city of Rome, where the Pope often gets away from it all. So they put a telescope up there. But the growing city of Rome made it even, it was still difficult to get as much view through your telescope peering out the night skies because there's so much light around a big city. So lo and behold, they built a telescope, and it exists in Arizona, the state of Arizona. It's kind of interesting, just to think it's a key factor in our spirituality because the idea of cosmology and looking into telescopes and staring at the sky, all the finding out about planets and solar systems and galaxies and comets and all that good stuff. It's often thought of as our faith, especially our Catholic faith, is so often considered irrational. It's for those who study science and those who become PhDs and take their higher education very seriously. They find they move away from Catholicism. It's kind of interesting to think, too, that many of those who get more educated are more prone to accept political figures that defend abortion rights. Strangely enough, I think it's not a dumb connection to make. But anyways, so I was able to spend a few days with about 50 or so, 50, 60 of us. There were a number of priests and lay people, mostly who have an interest in science. And we descended upon Bloomington, Indiana. Now, if you were alive for the past 5 days or so, you will have known that there was something called the Great American Eclipse happening on Monday, April 8th. It started at 1:49 p.m. I know that because we had to keep writing that down in our notes and everything. Anyways, it was a beautiful, powerful experience. It's amazing to just marvel at God's creation. But the theme of my show here today is to dialogue with the people, the millions of people that were enthralled with the eclipse, but didn't seem to take the attitude that we Catholic amateur or professional scientists took toward the universe, gazing at the universe, learning from the universe, namely that we like to be even more impressed with the God we worship than we already are. It's kind of like the flip side of looking at a flower or looking at a beautiful sunset or taking a walk through the forest and enjoying nature and feeling God present. So often, so very often, people who stop practicing institutional religion and they don't want to go as far as to consider themselves atheists, they will always say, I feel God as I walk through the forest, or any other wonderful natural thing that they like. Having a retreat based on cosmology sort of fits that tickle in our soul to really appreciate nature in such a way that it leads you deeper to God. Unfortunately, it doesn't always, and that's what we got to examine today. Why and how? What's the difference? How is it that studying nature, and in this past week studying a solar eclipse? The solar eclipse was fantastic. Let me say a couple of things before jumping into the dialogue with the millions that were enthralled with the solar eclipse that were not in any way, shape, or form moved closer to God, like one should be. You can be moved, but you not necessarily. So, as a matter of fact, driving back from southern Indiana, I wanted to avoid Indianapolis, and so I took side roads and got all the way to I-57. If you've ever been down to Champaign-Urbana, you know I-57 goes right past there. I said, I should be safe away from Indianapolis. But as I got onto I-57, it was bumper to bumper traffic. Not stop and go bumper to bumper, but just lots and lots of cars coming. And I realized, oops, Carbondale was also a site of the total, they call it totality, where the full blackout occurs. So thousands, if not millions, descended upon southern Illinois. And so there were thousands and thousands of cars going back to the Chicago area. I got stuck in that traffic. It's amazing. But I'll guarantee you that maybe 4%, 5%, oh, who knows. But I'll guarantee you that many were not moved closer to God. They might have even been moved farther away from God if they are following certain errors about nature and spirituality that springs from nature. So a couple of the things at the outset is what I did find very, very amazing. I've seen pictures of it on TV and movies on like the NOVA channel, the Discovery Channel. NASA has its own YouTube channel, etc. You can see the pictures very well, and I was curious if it looked a lot like that. And it did look a lot like you see in the videos. The sky, I was kind of assuming that it wouldn't go as dark as night. And actually, it didn't go as dark at night. And I was kind of assuming it would just go to like an evening twilight. But it got even darker than an even twilight. The lights had to come on. You know, we were at a retreat center, a place called Mother of the Redeemer, beautiful place near Bloomington, Indiana. And the lights that are on solar sensing on and off switches all came on. Anyways, it did get pretty dark, and it was my first thing I want to share with those who haven't seen that totality is, well, of course, you have to be watching. You could look at the sun with these super dark sunglasses. It's just like a black, it's a mylar, I think they call it, sheet. So you could look at this sun, and you do see the circle. Looks a little orange when you're looking through your sunglasses. And so you have to keep those glasses on while the sun is shining. You can take them off in totality when the moon is completely over the sun, because only the corona, and that's the most beautiful thing, is a very beautiful thing to see. The corona of the sun just shining away with a big black plate in front of it, big black disc in front of it, which is the moon. Anyways, one of the things that really amazed me was the fact that they, first of all, there's a phenomenon that they call the wedding ring that happens when you're watching the moon, moon's shadow, pass in front of it. It's not the moon's shadow; it's the moon itself passing in front of the sun, and you get like 75%, 80%, 85%, 90%, 90, and you get a crescent sun the way we would see a crescent moon. And even what blew my mind, even when it's like only a tiny sliver of a crescent, it's up to 99% covered, but 1% not covered. So you got this very thin strip of the sun that's shining. And so what I had to do is I took off my glasses and tried to look at the sun, thinking, oh, for sure that this sun's not going to be very bright. But amazingly enough, with that 1%, a little tiny strip of light shining, taking off your glasses and looking at the sun, I swear it was like looking at the sun a regular day. You know, when you look at the sun, you just can't look at it. You just got to turn your eyes away from it. Of course, you can't stare at it. You can't look at it for any length of time. You could look up at it, but then as soon as you see how bright it is, you turn your eyes away from it. So, as I took my special glasses off with that 1% still left, I saw a blaring white star up in the sky called her sun. So I put my glasses back on, and again, it goes a little bit farther, 30 seconds more, 40 seconds more. And before it goes completely total, there's one little speck that will shine. One beam of light that comes from the sun. And it's created because the sun has craters. And so the sun's surface is not completely smooth. So it's as if the sun is peering through two like through a valley or in a low spot of the sun. So it's a tiny, tiny little speck of sunlight coming before it goes total. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take my glasses off again and I'll be able to see it. But wouldn't you, it's just incredible power of the sun. Even with that tiny speck of sunlight, I took my solar glasses off, looked up at the sun, and had to turn my eyes away from it immediately. It was as if looking at the sun in a normal daytime kind of situation. Couldn't believe how amazingly powerful and bright our sun is. Thank the Lord. And that is literally, we need to thank the Lord. Without it, life wouldn't exist, of course. Anyways, so that's one thing. I just amazed. To me, it was one of the most amazing parts, how powerful the sun is, even with a tiny little speck of sunshine. You look up at it and it still see a bright shining sun in the sky. Another interesting thing was the birds started singing just like in the evening. And that was kind of cool. The temperature did cool off. It was pretty warm down there that day. Anyways, so I could talk more and more about those kinds of experiences. I hope you were able to see it somewhat to learn a bit more about the universe is to learn more about God's creation. Even though it's at this point inanimate, you could look at lots of things in the universe, of course, and study. The most amazing thing of the universe, the most amazing part of the universe is you and me, human beings. We can't forget that. So let's take our first break here. What I wanted to share with you is the some of the reactions of the masses, of the mobs who did go to Carbondale or wherever else. I don't know exactly where all these people are, but I want to share some of those reactions and then come to something that's called creation spirituality. That's the danger here. Just like there's a danger of looking at the sun without those glasses on, there's a danger of worshiping nature without proper doctrine to accompany it. And you can see how easy it is that it does go wrong very quickly. I'll share that as soon as we come back. I'm Father Tom Coyes on the Winds of Change on AM 750.
The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us. On Saturday, April 27th, there is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found 2 blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org for more information.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
And thanks for listening to The Winds of Change. I'm Father Tom Coys. It's Brain Wrinkling Wednesday. I'm sharing some thoughts on the eclipse, the main news event. Another interesting thing about having a retreat based on studying the universe is that it really did, it gives you peace because it takes you out of yourself. When you want peace, and you're confronting, there's always a lot of difficulties that are going on in your life. And if you sort of throw yourself into studying the universe, you're amazed at what a lot of the scientists, cosmologists are figuring out now and what have you. And it does take you out of yourself. So in that sense, I recommend it for all everyone to... It's true for study of all kinds of things. Study history, study gardening, study study architecture. All these things take us out of ourselves, and that's a healing thing. That's a peace-giving thing. Of course, you got to go back into yourself to solve some of the problems. And your problems still exist, and maybe you do have to change or do something to help your spiritual equilibrium or to grow in holiness, of course, right? You can't just ignore. That's actually a fault I see with some of the scientists that I know. There were a number of scientists actually from the Vatican Observatory from Rome. A Jesuit brother by the name of Brother Guy, I can't remember his last name, but Brother Guy is the director of the Roman Vatican Observatory. So he was there with us. And he's a faithful religious guy. He sometimes gave me that impression about like what scientists sometimes will do. They're so into their subject that they don't care about the problems of real life, we'll call it, or the fact that marriages are on the rocks, or that brothers and sisters are at war with each other, or that nations are at war with each other, etc. All the problems that do arise, you can easily just not care about those things because you're so interested in catching a supernova explosion on camera or through your telescope, what have you, of course. So that's as I said right before the break, sometimes studying things takes you out of yourselves, but then you have to put your studies aside to study your life around you, the people around you, what's going on, as it were. So anyways, I got to share, here's a series of reactions from people who saw the eclipse, and you probably, let's see if I can get this here. I'll start it up. It goes like this.
There it is. Wow.
You can see the stars.
You can see the planets.
Oh my God. You guys, I'm actually crying. This is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, it's emotional. I can't explain why, but it is. We had tears, we had screams, we had fireworks during totality, but it just took my breath away, the whole thing. It's really cool that you can see the corona and you see the sun kind of spewing out from behind the moon. It literally took our breath away for a while, so I'm so excited for everyone to experience this.
Here we go, Lester, totality now arriving.
That's awesome.
Wow, Lester, an incredible scene out here. You know, longer need these safety glasses. People are cheering. We have been told it is a spiritual moment, a hair-raising moment. It is certainly that. It is an incredible feeling to be outside here and watch this. You can now look up at the sun with your bare eyes. It is safe for you to do so for the next 2 minutes. It is a...
I got to stop it there. Obviously, maybe you were part of one of those crowds cheering away. But I'm going to ask the question, who are they applauding? Why are they cheering? If not an invisible God behind it all. Of course, I don't think they're caught up in a strange moment, a human experience, a sentient experience that is not normal. And that just the very abnormality of it gives people that spiritual sense. Though if it happened every day, if it's so great, then wouldn't you want to experience it a lot? Okay, what if God allowed us to have a solar eclipse every day, and it happened every day at 3 p.m., let's say, and eventually you know that we'd get bored with it. And we'd say, okay, it's 3 o'clock now. Sun's going to be dark because the moon's passing in front of it again. It's a natural occurrence. So unless you see a supernatural side to it, you're missing the greatness of it. And that these people are saying, oh, is the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Well, I got to tell you, it's not the greatest thing I've experienced in my life. It was a wonderful thing, but I would have to say any human achievement is also a great, great achievement. If you really understood the Eucharist and what happens at every Mass where God comes down on our altars, I could more easily relate to someone saying, oh my goodness, look at Jesus is on the altar once again, etc. There's a thousand things that you might consider the greatest thing in your life, but if you make a natural thing the highest thing, then you're not going to have God as the highest thing. God is not going to be the supreme being, summum bonum, as they say in Latin, right? Let's hear a little bit more of these reactions.
Moving scene, Lester.
Look at the corona. The corona is crazy. I never thought I'd see something like this. I'm 56 years old. This is unbelievable. What I'm seeing right now.
How dark it is. Here we go. Oh my God.
Wow. What? Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there it goes. Yeah.
You know, one of the reactions, this is unbelievable. I got to confess, I didn't have at all that sense that it's unbelievable. If you know the science behind it, it's very believable. And that the people that keep responding, oh my God, reminds me of when I teach the second commandment to the children, I like to say, don't use God's name in vain. If you're saying God without praying, or if somebody you know constantly uses God's name, a good thing to ask them is to say, are you praying? And most of the time, we use the name of God in vain. And I can't help but I got to point out, and you got to be able to see how that may be using God's name in vain in a very powerful and sad sad situation or bad way. Can they really mean, oh God, I rejoice in your majesty? Of course they can, but it's not necessary. It's not at all a foregone conclusion that that's what most people are getting closer to God, understanding God. And if you realize that there is a God behind all of this, then you will try to improve your life. I'm going to have to say here the Catholic philosopher, theologian that I think has the greatest prelude to this exciting eclipse is G.K. Chesterton. In his book, Orthodoxy, he speaks about the glory of creation, and he often will say that in order to really believe in God, you may really like the gift of socks that you get at Christmas time, but he marvels at the fact that God gave him feet in the first place. Or he says that to appreciate God's creation, you can see how God is master of all the natural things going on in the world. He says as you watch a waterfall and you see water cascading over the rocks and down into the pond or what have you, you marvel at the fact of gravity, but you also could imagine the water flowing up and flying every which way, to which you would still say, wow, God is amazing, because he's controlling the water to go up and down or left and right. It's the same God that causes gravity. So in the natural world, when you look at a waterfall and you see the water going down, you can and you should be just as much amazed at the water flowing down as the water flowing up. You look at each and every waterfall and you see that the waterfall is going down. And so instead of just assuming there is no God and that's just the way water works here in this natural world, he says, as you examine many waterfalls, you begin to suspect a conspiracy. You begin to expect a conspiracy, meaning someone has designed water to fall down over the rocks. He says the same thing about watching a sunrise or a sunset. The sun comes up in the morning, and each and every morning we should be as excited to see the sun come up as Adam and Eve were when they saw the first sunrise in the Garden of Eden, or if the angels were able to see the sunrise before Adam and Eve were created. That's the whole point behind that beautiful song that we sing every now and then. Do you know? Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, God's recreation of the new day. So that's the essence, that's the spirit that should overtake us watching the solar eclipse. You could say, wow, this solar eclipse is as great as the first one, right after the moon got put in its orbit. Actually, one of the scientists made reference to the fact that there's still a little bit of controversy of how the moon got to where it is. And one scientist was given maybe a Nobel Prize by speculating that it broke off the planet Earth when a huge meteor smashed into the Earth millions and millions of years ago, and a big enough chunk flew out and just got caught in the Earth's gravitational pull, of course, and so now we have a moon. They're not sure how the moon got in. It could have been broken off from another planet and soaring through space, and it got just grabbed by the Earth's gravity. All those kind of things are fascinating to think of. But they should be like that song says, morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. What I want to do is go to, I have to share with you, excuse me there. I want to share with you something called creation spirituality. And this is going to be difficult for me because it's taking something from John Denver, one of my favorite singers, and showing how wrong he got theology with something called creation spirituality. He was, of course, a singer-songwriter more than a theologian, but there was a Catholic priest back in the 70s by the name of Matthew Fox. And he wrote on creation spirituality. He went too far and had to be canceled. This was in the days of John Paul II, and I think it was Pope Benedict that really was the one who called him into Rome to try to explain his writings, and Cardinal Ratzinger had to say, your teachings are outside of Catholic orthodoxy. Anyways, I got to dive into some of that. It's because as I was trying to prepare this talk and I was trying to think of what do we have here to react to the reaction of these, we'll call them either atheistic or agnostic or irreligious people that are applauding, but have no one that they're applauding to. It's the secular version of the appreciation of the eclipse versus a deeper and a more important a recognition of the eclipse. So we'll come back with that in just a moment. So I'm Father Tom Coyes on the Winds of Change on AM 750.
The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us on Saturday, April 27th. There is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found 2 blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org for more information.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststandschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back here. I'm doing some eclipse meditation with you, and I want to relate it to something that, as I said, this is not easy for me because it's as I try to, in my mind, dialogue with the many atheistic or agnostic people who went goo-goo gaga over the eclipse and trying to get them to a deeper, a higher level. I got to criticize something called creation spirituality, which is really embodied by one of my great heroes, and it's hard for me to express this because John Denver sings so many songs. He obviously, those of you who still remember his music, I like to introduce it to some of the younger folks who didn't live in his time in the 70s, but a lot of young people do still like it. There is something ageless about his beautiful music. That being said, there's also something, there's a problem that's ageless that goes along with it. And so criticizing creation spirituality, which is exactly what I think this eclipse brings to my mind, is what we got to dissect here. Before I do so, today is, if you're listening to this live, and by chance, if you're on the southwest side of the Chicagoland area, I'm going to play a little clip here from, this is a kind of a famous guy of sorts. He's getting more famous. I didn't really know who he is. Here, let me play this for you.
There's a wonderful moment where they try and get him to explain his reasoning, and he just says completely silent. In the end, they've got two options. One is to torture him, and then Cromwell says, yeah, the king's conscience won't quite allow us to put him on the rack. But the other is to someone commits perjury, and say that he said something he didn't say. And perhaps one of the most moving pieces of drama ever is when they sentence him to death.
Okay, that is Gavin Ashenden. You may not know him, but I hope you do. And if you're anywhere near St. James of the Sag Church tonight, which is Wednesday, April 10, at 8 o'clock, if you can come at 7 p.m. for our evening mass, Gavin Ashenden is going to be with us. He's going to give a little talk. He was a former Anglican, and he was a chaplain to Queen Elizabeth, a pretty high position for an Anglican priest. And, of course, we got to appreciate the fact that the Queen of England is the head of the Church of England. That's the way King Henry set it up. As it, Gavin Ashenden there in that little clip is just giving a little talk and a little teaching about St. Thomas More, of course. And he's loves the movie A Man for All Seasons, which I do as well. I think everyone who's listening, who's interested in history and getting religion right, needs to know that story very, very well, backwards and forward. Anyways, excuse me. Gavin Ashenden is going to be at St. James at Sagbridge. We're at 107th and Route 83 in the Lamont area. Come on out and enjoy Gavin Ashenden. He's going to be there with a couple of his friends from jolly old England, and we'll be done by 9 o'clock, so you can get home in time for school the next day, as it were. Okay, so that's a little shameless plug for what we got going on here at St. James. But back to creation spirituality, and I got it. I guess I'll have to introduce it with this here. This is
enough to just be here today, and I don't know what the future is holding in store. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure where I've been. There's a spirit that guides me, a light that shines for me. My life is worth living. I don't need to see the end.
Okay, sing along with me.
Sweet, sweet surrender.
That's one of my favorite songs, and there is something beautiful about, so I always say, surrendering. And of course, it can be a very beautiful thing. It can be a dangerous thing if you're surrendering in the wrong time, the wrong place, for the wrong reasons. But the life as a battle for most of us, or as a struggle, is a pretty common experience. And the idea that getting closer to God helps us surrender to the will of God, putting the will of God over our will, is a very important part of surrender. But that's not always the interpretation of such a thing. And as beautiful as that song is, it can lead to great trouble. And what do I mean by that? I'm going to read some important selections here from an article by a Protestant minister by the name of Todd Eckloff. Must be a German. Reverend Dr. Todd Eckloff. And he says this, first of all, what creation spirituality is not. It's not creationism, which is kind of what I assume that it's not. He's not trying to promote the idea that creation spirituality brings you to accept the doctrine that God made the world in 6 days. He would take the discoveries of cosmology more seriously than that. So he also says that creation spirituality is not anthropocentric. I'm quoting him. It views human existence as only a part of a much larger and more ancient story, a story that doesn't begin with, will not end with, and should not center on the emergence of human beings. Creation spirituality respects the miracle of all life and all existence. As another Protestant, he calls it a mystic, Meister Eckhart, every creature is a word of God and a book about God. For this reason, creation spirituality has a very positive view of the world, of life, and of human existence. I see the throng of people cheering for the eclipse as devotees of what he's calling creation spirituality here. You could see how it pushes us to a positive view of life, especially if you're going through a lot of troubles, if you're tired of people complaining about you, your life isn't going so well, there's a lot of negativity around you, and so you're looking for something positive to hold on to. Creation spirituality gives you that. But the idea that that life doesn't begin with or end with human beings, you can take that in a Catholic sense and say, oh yeah, well, because God is the ultimate life, the ultimate being, and he existed before human beings and will exist after the earth dies away. But to think that you're going to get closer to God and to discover the true God when you realize, like many cosmologists do, because the universe is so large and we are just a tiny speck in a huge universe, we are insignificant. Our smallness in the vast universe makes us insignificant. You would have to relate the fact that creation without humans, you can have God and you can have angels, but nature without God and without angels is not what most of the atheistic or agnostic devotees or the ooh and the fans of the eclipse, we'll call them that, the atheistic fans of the eclipse. You have to posit reason, you have to posit rationality, in order for there to be any kind of meaning in the universe. In other words, some people are so tuned into the nature that goes beyond us that they almost feel like it would be better if human beings disappeared, and then creation will achieve its greatest meaning, and we'll get us human beings out of the way. It's a sad kind of spirituality is what it comes down to, and they're using this love for nature around us as an excuse for turning away from our character, our inner peace, our knowledge of who we are, a desire for or a need for coming to know what is right and what is wrong. So that's I gotta pull up a couple other interesting quotes from Matthew Fox, the excommunicated. Well, he wasn't excommunicated; he was just canceled. The dissenting theologian, Catholic theologian, and one of my fallen heroes, John Denver, because John Denver really did write a lot. He met Matthew Fox and said that, "Oh, you're just my hero. I want to write lots of songs that capture that spirit." So let's take our final break here, okay? And then we'll come back. I'm just scratching the surface the way peering into the universe just scratches our knowledge of the universe, right? I'm Father Tom Coyes on The Winds of Change on AM 750.
The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us on Saturday, April 27th. There is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found 2 blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit stsandschurch.org for more information.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's 1 block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. With a little bit of time left here, I just gotta. I'm trying to expose one of the great problems of today in our society, and especially as problems spawn from bad theology, from bad religion. And it's so seductive, it's even hidden. I'm using one of my musical heroes, John Denver, as an example of how he gets it wrong. There's something right that we can say is found in one of our Catholic saints by the name of St. Francis of Assisi, right? Many of us know the his Canticle of the Sun, where he says, This is from St. Francis. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister moon and stars. All praise be yours, my Lord, through brothers wind and air. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister water. The thing that you got to appreciate is the radical difference between St. Francis praising brother sun and sister moon versus the kind of pantheism that's captured in some of John Denver's songs and in the atheistic or agnostic appreciation or love of the eclipse. When people say, I've never seen anything like it, it's a spiritual experience for me, that it is a spiritual experience in that they don't have many other spiritual experiences to compare it to. And compared to just going to work every day, walking your dog and having fun on the weekends, maybe it is the highest spiritual experience they have, but it's a false God if we don't see it. John Denver, in one of his songs, he speaks about the beauty of the world around us, like that beautiful song, Sweet Surrender, and many others. Here he goes, let's see, this is from one of his songs. I love the life within me. I feel part of everything I see. And oh, I love the life around me. A part of everything is here in me. So he's appreciating this oneness with nature, and having a sense of togetherness, which is good. However, I can't let the show end without saying all the songs, and I got to come back to this theme a little bit more, but all the songs that are cited in this article about John Denver and his close relationship to the dissenting Catholic theologian Matthew Fox, I think they're all written post his divorce with Annie. And that is a key significant human experience. I think he rose to power, he rose to stardom because many of his songs had to do with that human relationship between a man and the woman he loved. And so many of the love songs were touched people's hearts and they helped them. But absent that, he had to find some other meaning. And fortunately, he went into the creation spirituality. And that's the danger that we're facing today. I ought to come back to this theme for sure. Anyways, thank you for listening. I'm Father Tom Coys on The Winds of Change.
When the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.